The text is the Gospel reading from St. Matthew. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Here ends our text. When you think unicorn, you think of a horse with a horn. That's not so. A unicorn is supposedly formed from the parts of several animals. It has the head of a goat, the body of a horse, the tail of a lion, the legs of the wild ox, and a golden horn on its forehead. The unicorn historically has been considered a Christian symbol for this reason. The only way to capture a unicorn, it was said, was for a virgin to sit in the woods. A unicorn would come and lay its head on her lap, and then you could capture it. The virgin stood for the Virgin Mary. Christ is the unicorn. The unicorn is a symbol of the virgin birth of Christ. And that's what it has to do with Christmas and our text. No more than we get unicorns do we get the virgin birth. Joseph sure didn't get it. Once Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, you can bet that Mary told him exactly what the angel had told her in Luke 1. She told him, "The Holy Spirit came upon me, the power of the Most High overshadowed me, so the Holy One to be born from me will be called the Son of God." But Joseph wasn't buying it. He knew of only one way for women to get pregnant, so he's going to divorce her, as the law said he should, but he would do it secretly, not demanding the death penalty or insisting on his right to keep her dowry or a refund of the money he had paid to her father. Other people scorned Jesus for his virgin birth. It's not by accident that only in the hometown of Mary and Joseph, Nazareth, is Jesus referred to as Mary's son and Joseph's son. If you don't think they said this dripping with irony, scorn, and accusation, then you've never been around a small community where a girl turns up pregnant out of wedlock. Yeah, a child from the Holy Spirit. The power of the Most High came over her, right? The scandal of the virgin birth continues today. To some, Jesus is the son of a Roman soldier. To others, Jesus is the real son of Joseph. But strangely, it has not happened as Thomas Jefferson predicted it would. He said the day will come when the mystical generation of Jesus by the supreme being as his father in the womb of a virgin, the day will come when it will be classed with the fable of the generation of Minerva in the brain of Jupiter. That has not happened, except with clergy. A Harris poll taken in 2003 found that 93% of Christians and 77% of all adults believe in the virgin birth. But a 1998 poll of 7,441 Protestant ministers, that is a big sampling, 7,441 Protestant ministers were polled. They found out that 19% of Lutherans did not believe in the virgin birth. 34% of American Baptist clergymen did not believe in the virgin birth. 44% of Episcopalian priests did not believe in the virgin birth. 49% of Presbyterians did not believe in the virgin birth. And 60% of Methodist clergymen did not believe in the virgin birth. It takes a miracle to believe in the virgin birth. God sent both Mary and Joseph an angel to bring them the faith. And by Scripture, God sends an angel to us. To Mary and Joseph, and now to us. An angel explains that Mary will become pregnant from the Holy Spirit. In the same way the Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the waters at creation, so He overshadowed Mary at the beginning of God's new creation. And as from the primordial, formless void of darkness, the Holy Spirit was able to bring forth form, content, and light, so from a fallen, sinful Mary, the Holy Spirit brought forth a perfect, holy man. Can't get your head around that? I can't. But then I can't get my head around how bees can get sweet honey from bitter pollen. The fact that I can't get my head around something doesn't have anything to do with whether God really said it or God really did it. If God only said and did what I understand or comprehend, then He wouldn't be much of a God, would He? And our short little text hammers home what God said and did in the case of Mary. Our text says, 1, Mary was pregnant before they came together. 2, what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And 3, Joseph had no union with her until she gave birth. Is there any clearer way Scripture can convey to us that Jesus was born of a virgin? I know what you educated types are saying. You're saying, well, Alexander the Great and Julius Caesar were said to have been born of virgins as well. And the Hun Zingis was said to be born of a virgin too. However, 4 millennia before any of them, God promised that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. Children were normally referred to as the seed of the man. Also, 500 years before Alexander, Isaiah prophesied that the virgin would conceive. Rather than the other virgin birth proving that Jesus was a myth too, you should see them as confirming His. We'll see in our Genesis study that worldwide creation and flood accounts confirm the Bibles. It's easier to see how they all have a common truth at their core rather than falsehood springing up independently all over the world. On our own, we no more get the virgin birth than we get unicorns. So the Lord sends an angel to reveal it to us, and those saved believe it. There is no way you can be a Christian and deny the virgin birth. For if you deny the virgin birth, you make Jesus just another man. Even if you make Him a perfect man, perfect Adam was not able to keep the law perfectly. See how quickly he fell in Eden? And even if an ordinary born Jesus could somehow keep the law perfectly, the suffering and death of a man wouldn't be enough to pay for the sins of the world. Unless Jesus' blood is that of God, it stains. It does not clean. Besides, if ordinary human blood could appease God's wrath, then a man's dying would satisfy it, and no one would go to hell, because their sins would be paid for by their death. It's through the virgin birth that salvation from your sins and sinfulness comes. God could not take our place under the law. Can you see why? Whatever God does is by definition lawful. God is like a king in his own country. Whatever a king does is lawful. A monarchy is not the rule of law, but the rule of a king. So to take our place under God's law, God the Son was placed by the Holy Spirit in the virgin's womb. As a man, Jesus was obligated to keep all 10 commandments, and He did. Jesus wasn't consumed by worry like you are. Jesus didn't use the name of God as an interjection like you do. He held both the preaching and teaching of God's word as sacred and gladly heard and learned it, unlike you. He obeyed and honored authority. He loved his neighbor as himself, and he didn't indulge in the sexual lustings that you do. Jesus never stole, lied, or lusted after anything. And Jesus did this as a man in your place for your sake. But you know, if you start making on-time payments of a debt, you're current from that point on. But that says nothing about your past debt. You owe the Bank of Heaven payment for your sins. You are in arrears so far that foreclosure is inevitable. Because you don't see your account in collections right now, you might think that the debt is forgotten about. Or worse, you think that since there is no bill collector at your door, you can live in your pet sins but not be racking up any more debt. If not before, then on your deathbed, you will be handed a bill for all your sins. Those you thought were small and forgot about, and those you thought large and never really forgot, they're all going to be there. You die with your debt of sin unpaid, and you will pay for eternity. Only the virgin-born Jesus can stop that from happening. As true man, Jesus had the currency, your flesh and blood, to pay on your debt. As true God, Jesus had sufficient money to pay off not only your debt, but that of the whole world. So when the devil, your own conscience, or others come bill collecting now, you point to the cross where the final payment for your sins was made. And you can point to the empty Easter grave as proof that God accepted Jesus' life and death as payment in full for all your sins. But there's more. In a virgin-born Jesus, God is Emmanuel. God is with us. Matthew opens his gospel with his comfort and closes with it as well. The resurrected Jesus in Matthew 28 tells us, the redeemed, us, the saved, us, the going to heaven crowd, he tells us, I am with you always, even unto the close of the age. In your baptism, I cover you like a coat. In your absolution, my forgiveness sends your sins away from you. In communion, my body and blood are in your body and blood, and you can't get any more with a person than that. I admit, believing in the virgin birth is as silly in our age as believing in unicorns. But then believing that baptismal water creates a new man, that's silly. And how silly is it to believe that words from a man's mouth actually forgive sins before God in heaven? And isn't it silly to sing to the bread and wine on the altar, Christ, the Lamb of God, have mercy upon us? But don't stop there. It's silly to believe that angels are real. It's silly to believe there's a personal devil. It's silly to believe that God created the universe in 6 days. Just go down the Apostles' Creed. Unbelief scorns not just conceived by the Holy Ghost and born of the Virgin Mary, but risen from the dead, ascended into heaven, sitting on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and then coming again to judge the living and the dead. If you don't confess the first two, conceived by the Holy Ghost and born of the Virgin Mary, it does not matter at all if you believe the last four or not. If Jesus was not virgin born, he can't be God with you in your flesh and blood. And if God didn't take on your flesh and blood, there can be no forgiveness of your sins. Without the forgiveness of your sins, oh, there's still going to be a resurrection of all the dead, but it's not to life everlasting. The Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the dead, and the life everlasting all hinge on God the Son taking on a body in the flesh and blood line of the first Adam. Apart from being conceived and born of a virgin in that line, it could not have been done. In the sequel to Alice in Wonderland, it's called Through the Looking Glass, the unicorn and Alice meet. The unicorn says, well, now that we've seen each other, if you'll believe in me, I'll believe in you. Jesus, a unicorn in Christian art, doesn't need you to believe in him. But you need him to believe in your salvation. He did. So much so that he took on your flesh and blood, your debt and your death in the virgin's womb, in order to be God with us, even there and from then on. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your thoughts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.